You may have heard Sartre's famous quote, "Hell is other people." Turns out, as much as we might like to disassociate from our human counterparts, it's not in our nature. According to new research, human beings are hardwired for things like empathy, compassion, and connection. Scientists have recently discovered something called mirror neurons. Marco Iacoboni is the author of Mirroring People. He says the discovery of mirror neurons looks to be a crucial part of how human beings connect with each other.
I think it's a fundamental way in which evolution has shaped our brains such that we can understand each other at a very simple level and immediately. And this is very important because when I interact with people, I really have to feel comfortable. I really have to feel that I understand what they're doing, what they're going to do next. I have to predict what they do. And if I have these cells in my brain, that's something that I can do easily, automatically. And that makes me comfortable. And then we can actually understand each other's minds.
Well, I guess where we have to start is with mirror neurons. What are they?
These are cells that were discovered in the monkey brain, and they have properties that scientists couldn't even imagine they could exist. They fire when you make an action, say grasping a cup, and when you're completely still, you're not moving your body, but you see somebody else making the same action. So it almost seems that with these cells, you can actually simulate what other people are doing.
Are these cells that are found all over the brain?
Well, in the monkey brain, they're found in two specific brain regions. In the human brain, it's not clear because we can't really see individual cells with brain imaging. But we have a sense that it's actually much more expanded, these brain cells.
And what they do seems pretty broad. It covers all kinds of activity. It's essentially a connection between humans?
That's right. I mean, what they do is to code different kinds of actions of the self and the other people. And the idea is that, in fact, they really make strong connections between people.
One of the things that fascinated me was in the research that you did with macaques. I think the example that was given was of the neurons firing when the monkey tore a piece of paper.
Right.
And then firing again when watching a researcher tear a piece of paper.
Correct.
And then firing again when hearing a piece of paper being torn.
Just the sound of the action.
Which suggests that there is a greater awareness of the connection between self and other than we would have guessed. So do you know how these are fired? Or are you only guessing as to the connection?
Well, what we know is that they are located in certain brain regions, they respond in certain situations. One of the questions is, how do they get formed? How in the brain we have these cells? One idea is that there can be some genes that code for these cells. But another possibility is that these cells are actually shaped by experience. The example I always give in my seminars is the following. There's plenty of imitation that goes back and forth between the baby and the caregiver. For instance, the baby smiles, and the mother smiles back because she's pleased that the baby is smiling and is happy. It's very easy for the baby's brain to make an association between the mother smiling and the sight of somebody else smiling. And there you have a mirror neuron.
You've touched me. I have a 4.5-month-old grandson who is doing exactly that. And you see, you smile, he smiles. You laugh, he laughs. It isn't entirely clear that he knows what he's doing at this point, but it does seem to be an interaction. I wouldn't have thought of that connection with mirror neurons, but you're suggesting that's exactly what's going on.
I believe that that's exactly going on. That's exactly what shapes mirror neurons very early on in life. You can make a little experiment. You go to a gathering in which there are grown-ups and babies. You start imitating the baby. You become immediately the most popular grown-up in the whole party because babies love to be imitated. It's a very simple way of connecting with other people, and it's very powerful.
So what does this mean for those adults who don't connect very well with others? Are their mirror neurons not firing?
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, for instance, we know that areas that we think contain mirror neurons in the human brain have reduced activity in patients with autism. Patients with autism have problem connecting with others, understanding the mental states of other people. And so we think that a deficit in these cells lead to a deficit in social behavior.
Looking at these cells, do you see evidence of why then we seem to share the feelings of others, even though those feelings have no reason to affect us the way they do. If I see a woman crying, it's very hard not to cry, even though I have no idea why she's upset or...
Right. Yeah, I mean, they do two things, these cells. First of all, they explain what is called emotional contagion. And the other thing that they tell us is that we are really wired for empathy. This is a major revision of long-standing beliefs. Our traditional idea is that our biology makes us only individualists, that only care about themselves. And our ideas make us social. These cells are telling us a totally different story. Evolution made us wired for empathy.
We talked a little bit about the effect of mirror neurons on people with autism. We don't know very much about this at the moment, although you're speculating that their mirror neurons are underdeveloped.
Right.
What does it suggest, if anything, for treatment of children with autism?
I think that's really the exciting implication of this research, because even though we don't have complete evidence, we have very good inferential, data that are strongly suggesting that there is a deficit in mirror neurons in these patients, but we don't have direct evidence at the level of the single cell. On the other hand, some clinicians used our research and got inspired to do interventions that are based on imitation. So the idea is to use imitation as a form of intervention in this, especially in very young children with autism. And the results are really preliminary, but they seem to suggest really robust effects such that these patients get much better and do not improve simply their ability to imitate, but even language abilities. Through imitation, it seems that patients with autism can actually get much better in their ability to connect and to use language.
It's also what you're suggesting is that it's the reverse of what we have been trying. Instead of standing in front of them and behaving the way you want them to behave, you're standing in front of them and starting out by behaving the way they behave.
Exactly. And there's evidence that if you do that, in fact, people are going to like you. There are nice social psychology studies that suggest that if I imitate you and then I leave the room and somebody asks you, so what do you think about Marco? You're going to say, he's a nice guy. If I don't, you're going to say, well, I guess he's okay, but you're not going to be too excited about me. Imitation improves liking between people.
Does this study have practical effects for creating interaction between people on other levels? I mean, I know you have done some research with political focus groups, for instance, to find out whether people's mirror neurons are helping to define how they feel about candidates.
Right. That was my hypothesis, that in fact mirror neurons are important for identification. And although people, when they talk about politics, tend to put it at a very rational level, they evaluate the issues and so on, I think it's mostly about emotional connectedness and identification. And the more you identify with a candidate, the more you have mirroring activity. And we did an experiment in 2004, and the initial data were suggesting that. Unfortunately, that campaign became so nasty that very soon we saw the disappearance of those empathic responses in our voters.
Nobody cared about any of the candidates anymore.
Exactly.
And then, which left us to vote on rational basis, perhaps.
Or maybe just, you know, the more you dislike one candidate, the more you vote for the other one. But I think that I think in the long term, this is bad news for democracy in general. What you want to have is a nice connectedness between the voters and the politicians. And a lot of, especially negative ads in politics, which we know they work. I think that in the long run, and that's what I also say in my book, what they do is they're going to create a disconnect between voters and the people that should represent the voters.
So where do you see your research going from here?
Well, the nice thing about it is it's going in so many different directions. I mean, of course, the most important one to me is the role of neuroscience in society. I mean, what the research is telling us is that our ideas, that our biology makes us individualists, and again, we have to overcome this tendency with some ideas and beliefs. The research that we are doing tells us exactly the opposite. In fact, we are wired for empathy. And so I think this is a very important message. So far, we didn't know this, and societies are built on explicit discourse, not on implicit kind of understanding, the one that works for mirror neurons. But the fact that now we know that that's the way our brain works, I think is going to have an impact on our society, and I think it's going to be a good impact.
Marco Iacoboni is a neurologist and neuroscientist at UCLA. He's the author of Mirroring People.